Like Lacey said, Pastor Ron's not here today, and a few weeks ago he asked me if I would preach, and gave me a choice of which topic I wanted that was left in this series. So I said, without even thinking about it, I said, giving. I want to talk about giving, because I thought I knew something about it. But now that I've had to study on it for a couple weeks, I didn't know that much. So, but anyway, I think we all probably find ourselves in that place sometimes. So, staying with the theme of what we've been having for the last few weeks, Naked and Unashamed, I want to talk about, I guess, the title of the sermon this morning is called Naked Giving. So, I just got to thinking about that, and I want to look at it. What would that mean? Naked giving. Now, Pastor Ron's been doing a pretty good job the last few weeks talking about, you know, being naked or being transparent, being hiding nothing. And that's kind of what I got to think about. So I got a couple definitions here that I want to just share with you quickly before we get really started with any scriptures or anything. What does naked giving mean? And the first word there, naked, and we've got it here for you, naked, bare of any covering or overlying matter. In other words, nothing covering up anything, nothing in the way, nothing to hide anything, naked. And then the next word there, give, to present voluntarily without expecting compensation. In other words, just doing something because you want to, because you feel like you should, for whatever reason, but without really thinking that it's going to benefit you very much, if at all. And so kind of putting that together, then naked giving, and we have that too, the bearing of oneself of any coverings or overlying matters in order to present gifts voluntarily without expecting compensation. And so I was thinking about that, and this is not really a little bit, but it's not going to be probably what you're expecting so much of this morning. This isn't just going to be a message about giving money, about financial things, hardly at all, I think. You know, the truth is, if I've talked this much and maybe we already start to feel a little bit itchy about it, we already know where we're at. So, but anyway, before we get started, I want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, we thank you that you're as good to us as you are, that you've given us everything, God. So many things in life that we think are just there. We think that we've gained on our own, but we know that you've given it all to us. And Father, we're standing this morning thinking about the ultimate gift that you gave your Son for our sin. Not just one of us, all of us. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you that a Savior would come and die on a cross for so many people that would never even mention his name. Lord, we thank you for that you've given the ultimate gift to us. And so as we go on this morning, Lord, I'd ask that you'd be with us here today, that you'd send your Spirit to walk among us, that you would show us the things that we need to see about you, that we could all draw just a little bit nearer to you in some way this morning. Lord, we ask that if there's anyone that stands in need here this morning, that you would meet that need, that you would pour into their lives and into their spirits, God, exactly what it is that they're in need of. And Father, we ask as we go on that each thing that's said and done here today would be for you and not for anyone else. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I started studying about giving, thinking I knew quite a bit about it, but I didn't really. But I was looking, I did a search in the Bible, and I found that if I search the word gift or gifts in the Bible, it's in there a little over 100 times. You know, maybe not a lot when you think about, I don't know how many millions of words would be in the whole book if we added them all up. But anyway, a little over 100 times. And when I began to look at what it was talking about, not quite 40 times is it talking about God giving something to us, okay? And so, you'd think, well, 40 out of 100, not quite half. Maybe not what you're expecting, right? It's not really what I was thinking either. I was thinking it would be more than that. But then when I looked and I began to read in there about gifts or gift, that just those two words. Now, there's lots of other ways you could look at it. But anyway, for that search I did, I found that just not quite 20 times then, about half, was it talking about us giving to God. So he's out giving us. See, that's the thing. But the best part of it is, that's not even half of all of it, and the rest of it is talking about us giving to one another. So I think that kind of brings it all together and sheds a little light on what's important here on this earth. God giving to us, us giving to God, and more importantly, us giving and helping one another. So that's something pretty cool to start looking at when you think about it that way. So that's going to bring us to our first scripture this morning, Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, and probably everybody here that's ever been to church very much has heard these scriptures, and it's not going to be any great new thing, but it's what God has to say. So it says here, he looked up, he being Jesus, he looked up and saw the rich dropping their offerings into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow dropping in two tiny coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all these people have put in gifts out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty has put in all she had to live on. And so that brings us to the first topic or point, if you will, for this message this morning, and that is talking about giving. I'm going to look at three different things, but the first one is giving out of our treasure, or it's just simply talking about our money, our finances, that type of thing. So the first one here, we've all heard the story, the poor widow. All the rich people are throwing in big amounts of money, and then the poor widow gets up, and she's just got a couple little coins there. And I looked it up in the original language. The amount of money she put in was 1/64 of the average of a day's wage at that time. So just keep that in mind. That's not much, is it, really? You know, when you think about it, it's not much. She didn't give very much, but it was all she had. And so thinking about that, it really, what I want to get out of this more than anything on this part of this is that it's not really about an amount. It's not about how many zeros you can write out there on your check. It's not about how many bills you can pull out and fold up and stick in a basket somewhere. It's not about that. It's not about that at all. It's about when we start talking about this kind of giving, giving of our treasure, it's talking about our attitude and how we give and why we give. That's all that matters. God knows how much we have. He knows what we need. He takes pretty good care of us, truthfully. He does. And so it's not about some big amount, some small amount, some in-between amount. It's not about a percentage. It's not about any of those things. It's about the attitude in which we give it. You know, just think about that. We could look at this list, a couple of groups here that Jesus saw giving, the rich people and the poor people. It's kind of funny to think about. It didn't have the middle class people. Apparently they didn't have much of that going on. You had the two groups, is what it looks like to me at that time. And so there's a couple of things I want to get there. We could maybe give with the rich attitude, right? With the rich attitude and say, oh, I've got a lot of money, so I'm going to give a lot of money. God's really blessed me, so I'm really going to bless him right back, and I'm going to give all these big amounts of money and all this, and look what I did. Look what I can do. It's wrong attitude. We could give with the poor attitude. We could walk up and say, well, I don't have much, so I can't give much, but here it is. Get down on ourselves or something, you know. It's the wrong attitude. It can't work that way. It's got to be, it doesn't matter about a number. Think about it. Just throw some out there. 100 little numbers we could give. 10, 50, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000, 10 million. What difference does it make? You know, I'm telling you right now, if you have 10 million bucks that you can just kind of throw out there and give away, you're probably not going to miss it, you know. What good's it going to do you, Really, think about that. You know, or we could say, again, look where it comes from. It's just that way. It's not about how much we can do or how little we can do. It's about why we're doing it. Again, the poor attitude. I don't have anything, but I'll give a little bit of something that I have. The rich attitude. I've got so much, I'll just give, you know, a gazillion dollars or whatever. Or we could do it with the right attitude. Lay it all bare, staying with the theme there of naked giving. Just throw it out there like it is and say the truth. Say, you know what? Jesus has done something. He's given me something, so I'm going to give something back. That's what it's all about. It's not about the numbers. It's about the attitude that we give with when it comes to this part of it. And again, I want to say, I can't say it enough. This is just a small part of giving in your life, the financial part of it. It's a small part. God never, ever sells us short. God never, ever leaves us wanting if we're really relying on Him and we're really trusting in Him to give it to us in the first place. He doesn't do that. The Israelites, when they were out in the wilderness, I read a lot in the Old Testament because it reads like a story. You know, like a history of the children of Israel, the history of the world and all those things. So it's easier to just read through it. So I find myself reading more in there. Probably, I don't know if that's good or bad or whatever, but that's what I do. And so the Israelites, when they were out in the wilderness wandering around hungry, they began to complain, remember, and said, God brought us out here to kill us. We're going to starve to death. That's all that's going to happen. And so they griped and they complained. And God said, I'll give you food. And He sent down manna from heaven. And as long as they did what God said, if you read the Bible, it says that for every person in your household, you were allowed to gather what we would call today about 2 quarts of this manna, this food that God provided. And everyone that did what God said, got their 2 quarts per person, they had exactly what they needed. They never ran out, and they never had to throw any away. Now, when they didn't gather it like God said, guess what happened? The Bible says that worms grew in it and it began to stink and it ruined the whole camp. So it's all about the attitude that we do it with. Are we going to just take God at His word and follow Him and trust Him in these things? Or are we going to sit back and kind of keep, like we tend to do as human beings, keep trusting in ourselves just a little bit more than we trust in God most of the time? And so think about that, giving of our treasure. That's, you know, it's all about our attitude. It all boils down to that, even as we go on to some of these other areas. And you know, the next thing here, let's go to some more. I've got some more scriptures, and again, this is from the Old Testament. Over in Exodus chapter 35, it says here, verse 10 says, and this is where they were beginning to build the tabernacle. They're wandering around the wilderness. They don't have anywhere to worship God. They don't have anywhere to gather. So God gives them instruction through Moses to build this tabernacle, this meeting place where they could come and worship God in the way that they were designed to. And so it says here, beginning to try and build that, it says here in verse 10 of chapter 35, let all the skilled craftsmen among you come and make everything that the Lord has commanded. And then it goes down a little farther there, verse 25 and verse 26, in the same chapter of the book of Exodus, it says, every skilled woman spun yarn with her hands and brought it, blue, purple, scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and all the women whose hearts were moved spun the goat hair by virtue of their skill. So the next thing I want to talk about this morning, see, it wasn't near as painful as you thought it was going to be when I said we're talking about giving, right? Right? So we're past the money. We can forget about it. And don't worry about it anymore because God's got it covered. It's all right. And let's move on to something else that's very important. Talking about giving of our talent or our ability, if you will. And that's what happened here. See, they needed a place to get together. They needed a place to worship God. They needed a place where they could come together and, again, do what we were designed to do, serve and worship the one who created us. And how did they do it? Well, everybody just gave a big chunk of money and they hired some guys and built it, right? No. Each person had a specific job that they were able to do, that they were talented enough to accomplish, and they were willing to give of that talent and that ability back to the one who gave it to them. So that's what they did. It says all the skilled craftsmen came, and they began to do everything that God had commanded. You know, just think about that. And I know you're all sitting there this morning, and I've had people tell me this sometimes, that I can't do anything. I can't do it. You know, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't sing, I can't play any instruments, I can't talk out loud in a group. I get so nervous that my knees start knocking together, my teeth chatter, and I'm locked up, and I'm unable to do anything. That's not right. It doesn't work that way. Each one of us has something that we're good at, whether we think it is important or not. Think about that. Probably when I was a kid, my parents wished that sometimes I would shut up. Not probably. They did. But it turns out, I'm not very good at a lot of things, but I can talk and talk and talk and never shut up. Like it, love it, leave it. It's what it is. You know? It is what it is. I can do it. If you want to talk about something, you get started off. You won't want to talk about it anymore by the time I'm done. But each one of them had something. If you read the whole, I'll challenge each one of you, not right now during the sermon, but when you're at home later, get your Bible, go to Exodus chapter 35 and read all that and see all the different things that each one of them had to do. They weren't telling everyone you had to do this or you had to do that or everybody had to do the same specific thing. Each one of them took whatever they were able to do and they put it to work for God. And the next thing you know, they had this tabernacle. They had this meeting place. They were ready and they could serve Him like He wanted to be served. It was an amazing thing. What happened was, you see, again, they didn't get out of their physical responsibilities by overemphasizing their financial responsibilities. I had a guy tell me one time, it was before I ever even started, it was before I ever answered the call to preach. I was, at that time, a worship leader at the church where I grew up. And this guy told me, I was telling him he should come to church, and he said, well, you know, probably what I would like to do is I would like to come to church and I would like to put, and he named off a pretty good sized number, and I'd like to put that in that offering, and then I'd like to maybe come back about every 4 or 5 or 6 weeks and do that again, and that's how I would like to come to church. If we did everything the way we like to do it, we'd never get anything done, would we? I'd like to be sitting on the couch watching a football game, right? Doesn't really accomplish much. Most of the time I'm frustrated because, as you all know, the Packers aren't very good this year, doesn't look like to me. So it wouldn't do any good. But that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. You see, we can't get out of one thing by doing too much of another if we're supposed to be doing it. That's how it just doesn't work that way. And so, you know, they did what they had to do to get it done, to serve God. You know, they got excited about it. Can you imagine what it would be like just here in our little community here in Ava in Douglas County? Not a big place, not lots and lots of people around, not a lot of anything sometimes. But can you imagine what it would be like if all of God's people at all the churches around in this community got excited enough to jump up and say, hey, I can do this, so find somewhere it needs to be done, and I'll go do it. That's what happened here. Everybody had their chance. Everybody had their opportunity, and they seized it and said, you know what? God wants us to do it. God wants us to give something out of our talents and our abilities, so we're going to do it. And nobody's going to stop us. Just imagine, we can't lose that excitement as Christians. When we do, we slowly begin to fail in doing the things that God wants us to do. We've got to stay excited about being able to do something. Think about that. Think about that. You know, and we don't, you know, I was talking to Dan before church day, Coach Swafford, for those of you that don't know his first name, Coach. But, you know, we can't just give something to God, whether, you know, financial, our talents, whatever it is, whatever you want to give, however you can give. We can't just give something to God thinking, well, if I do this, I'm going to get blessed right back, and that's why I'm going to do it. When we give to God, it is a known fact that He's going to give us something in return. So throw it out the window. That's not why we do it. We can't do it that way with that attitude. It won't work. We want to do something for God because He's already done it all for us. Because when it comes down to it, if you want to think about it, we can't outgive Him. We can't outwork Him. And we sure can't outlast Him. So it's not going to work that way. If we're not doing what we do out of love and just the God-given right to serve the one that made us, then why are we doing it? You see, we can't lose our excitement thinking about something that's not going to last anyway. Think about it, folks. We can't do it that way. And so, moving on over to the book of Luke. Back to the book of Luke, chapter 10. And this is, again, now I know that first scripture I read, pretty well known, been talked about a lot. The next one, there maybe not as much. And then this is another one that you've all heard before. Don't turn it off. Listen to the whole thing, and then God willing, we'll say something about it. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through verse 42. This is a story of Martha and Mary. It says, while they were traveling, He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. And so that brings me to the third thing I want to talk about when it comes to giving, and it's the most important one, and it's the hardest one. We talked about giving of our treasure, our money, if you will. Talked about giving out of our talent, the natural abilities that we all have. Well, when you think about it, I'll just put it like this. When it comes to giving out of our treasure, anybody can write a check. We already discovered the amount's not what it's all about. So anybody can do that. And, you know, we should do it. I'll never say that we shouldn't. Giving out of our talents. Our talents are, here's how I'd define it. Talent is something that we just naturally have that comes easy to us. So it's easy to give that to God, isn't it? It really is. If you have a talent to sing, it's easy to jump up and sing a song. If you have a talent to play an instrument, it's easy to do that. If you have a talent to sit down and do the opposite of what I do and listen to someone instead of talk, it's easy to do that. It's easy to give those things. But this last one may be the hardest thing for any of us to give to God. Our time. Our time. Think about it today. In today's society, in America, where we live, time is precious. It may be the thing that we crave to have more of, more than anything else. More than anything else. Our time. Think about that. Our time. It probably is the most valuable commodity we have in this life, especially, again, where we live. Because we live in a fast-paced world today, don't we? I mean, You get up in the morning and you're running around in circles trying to get ready to go to work, and then you're trying to get your kids ready to go to school, and then you're trying to make sure everybody gets something to eat, and then you're trying to make sure that everything is laid out like it should be for the day, and then you're late for work, and then the next thing you know, you've got to stay a little bit late because you need to make up for the time that you weren't there when you were late in the morning, and then so you get around and you have to leave work late, and then you're late for your kids' ball game that night, and then there you are, you're out of time. And then you start the next day. Our time may be the one thing that is more difficult to turn loose of than anything else in this life. Think about that. Mary and Martha, they were traveling, Jesus and the disciples. He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Come on in, Lord. We've been waiting to see you. And she's doing what we do, right? What do? When somebody's coming over to your house? Pardon? You scramble. Did we sweep the floors? Did we take the trash out? Are the dishes done? Do we have food to eat? Is there something that we could give these folks to drink? Where's the dogs? Where's the cats? What's going on? When people come to our house, will they really begin to realize and know that we're not near as perfect as we seem because something's left out that shouldn't be? What can we do about that? Okay, so that's where Martha was. Jesus is coming, and she is freaking out. I've got to do this, and I've got to feed these people and get drinks for these people, and everybody's got to have everything that they need to come to my house so that I can impress the Lord. Verse 40 really catches it. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. Distracted. There's nothing wrong. Matter of fact, there's everything right about having that job to get up and go to tomorrow morning. There's nothing wrong. You know, here's how it works. This is why time is so precious to us. If you have a pretty decent job today, a lot of the time you find out that you have to work overtime. Companies try to be more efficient and all that stuff, whatever. I'm not an economist. That's as best as I can explain that part of it. If you don't have a real good job, then maybe you have two jobs because you need more money to take care of your family. So that takes up your time, and you're distracted by it. The kids, ball games, music recitals, all the various activities, everything. You know something? This may come as a shock to you folks. We were excited for Morgan. Yes, you, dear. To get her driver's license. Because when she gets out of her practice for dance and cheer, she then can pick Eli up from his football practice. And that saves us one trip. Whew. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Time. Right? We run out of it faster than we run out of anything, and we can never get it back. Your car blows up, and you go and you spend all that money you saved and you buy a new engine for it. You begin to save again, and you get to the point where you have it. Again, you've saved up some more money. So then when your transmission goes out, you can pay for that. Right? You learn to play guitar, so you start playing the guitar because you think you have a talent for it, and you practice, and then all you guys that have ever played know your fingers start to hurt, then your fingers start to bleed, then finally a couple months into it, you get calluses on your fingers, and then you're okay. And then you quit playing for a while, and you go through the process again. You get up today, you go to church, you get out of church and eat lunch, you sit down and take that short 2 or 3 or 4 hour period that you have at the end of the weekend here to rest a little bit, go through the evening. Next thing you know, you're right back at it, and all that time's gone, and it's never coming back. That's why it's so hard for us to give that to God like we should. We commit to our family, our jobs, our neighbors, our community, everything in the world, and next thing you know, we're like, well, I think I have time to go to church. I think I have time to go to a group. I think I have time for something, but boy, it's going to be tough. You know, a lot of times when we talk about giving, people think of tithing, the 10% thing. Take 2.4 hours per day and try and apply that to nothing but the good Lord Himself and see how we stack up. It's pretty tough. And that's way more at me than it is at any of you. Because it's honestly sometimes the last thing I think of, and it should always be the first. Right? So, bringing it to the last point for today. It's the last scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Kind of jumping in the middle of what this chapter is about, but that's okay. You'll get the point. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, because He cares about you." And so the last one for this morning, we talked about giving our treasure, our money, our finances, whatever you want to call it. Talk about giving our talent, the things that we can do and we want to, you know, somehow use that to serve God, and that's great. Our time, where is it all gone, right? Take that, those three things, put them in a box, set it over here, and it's not going to matter until we do the right thing and we start the process giving everything to Christ. Everything. All the things that we carry around that weigh us down, that hold us back, that stop us, all the burdens, the fears, the doubts, tell it like it is, Lee, the sin in our lives, whatever it is, we've got to give it all to Him. He's the only one who can do anything about it in the first place. You could tell me about it, and I could pray for you, and I might even be able to help you in some small way, but I'm not Jesus. There's an eye-opening statement, huh? The plain, old, naked truth of it is we need Him to give to us before we ever begin to give to Him in any way possible or that we could imagine. It's that simple. So if you're here today and you're thinking about all these things of, well, I could give some money. Yeah, I've got a little bit. You know, I've got a couple bucks in my pocket. Or if you're thinking, I've got a talent I could use. You know, I could read a story to the kids over here in the preschool or something. Or I could do something else. Or you think, well, I could make time. I could make time to go to church. I could do it. We all could. It's true. We could reprioritize, you know. Lacey was talking about that earlier. It doesn't fit right where we want it in the schedule. I don't know. I'm right there with you on that, by the way. So, all that's not going to matter if we don't know who we're giving to. If we haven't received the gift that He has in store for us, we can never really give anything meaningful back to Him. Cast it all upon Him. All of it. Give it to Him. Let him take it. We walk around with so many cares in this life and forget that we're supposed to cast it all on Him, on our Savior. So if you want to bow your heads for just a moment this morning, think about that. Yeah, we could do a lot of giving. We could do a lot of everything. But it's not going to measure up to what He's done for us. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you've never made that step in your life, and you know it's time, well, we just talked about how precious time is. You might not have the time. If that's you and you're here this morning and you want to make that step, just raise one little hand, one little finger, so we can pray for you today. Remember that we have to start before we can ever finish. All right. For the rest of us, the ones who know Him, the ones who want to give to Him, Are we really putting it in the right priority? Are we taking our treasure, our talents, and our time and giving them to Him like He wants us to? Or do we need a little help? Do we need a little more practice? Do we need a little encouragement? If that's you, raise that hand this morning. Say, hey, you know what? I'm not as good at it. There's one hand, two hands, three. Keep on. They just keep going up. More there. How about that? How about that? I know that if you're here today and you know Jesus, that you want to give back to Him in some way. It's just within you to do it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. The ones that raised your hands, the ones that didn't, I'm going to pray that we all give to Him like we should. That He gives us the desire and the ability to figure out what it is and to hand it to Him. Lord, again, we come before You, thanking You. Thanking You, Lord, that You stretched out Your arms on a cross. You took the nails in Your hands and feet. You took the spear to Your side and the thorns to Your head. And You cried out, "It is finished." And said, "I've given everything I can give. There's nothing left." And You gave that all to us, that we could just freely reach out and receive it from You. So I ask, Lord, that You'd strengthen each one of us as Christians. That, Lord, that You would give us a stronger desire and give us more trust and confidence in You, Lord, that we would give of all the areas of our life more than we ever have in trying to serve You. Lord, we know it's tough. We know that in so many areas that doubt would creep into our minds, but we know that You can give us the faith to overcome that doubt if we'll just look to You. So my prayer today, Lord, is that you would hear what we're saying, that You, as we reach out to You, that You would reach back to us and show us how easy it is to give to You in every way that we can. I ask this in Your blessed and holy name. Amen.